بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through some of the adab, some of the etiquettes and morals that a student of knowledge should have whilst he is attending the gatherings of knowledge. And we mentioned a number of etiquettes and manners. And to revise quickly, what did we mention from the etiquettes or the manners which we mentioned last week are? Firstly, that a person rectifies his niyyah and has ikhlas. Secondly, second etiquette, and Zain. Sorry. Sincerity. And after that, the next etiquette. Coming early to the gatherings of the knowledge, and that in this there is blessing, and all the and also the angels, they seek forgiveness for a person who comes early to the gatherings and comes early to their prayer. Any other one?
Focused on attending gatherings of knowledge.
That you should have enthusiasm when it comes to attending the gatherings, and you shouldn't become bored or tired. And knowledge, it requires a person to tire himself. And Yahya ibn Kathir, he said, as Imam Muslim mentions with his isnad, لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسد. That knowledge, it will never be acquired and attained by a person being easy in his body. It requires striving and becoming tired in seeking it. Tafadhal. Implementing the knowledge which you are learning. Next. As well as taking knowledge from the sheikh or the teacher, that you also take the manners and the etiquettes from that teacher. And as Al-Dhahabi mentioned regarding Al-Imam Ahmad rahimullah, that over 5,000 people would attend his gatherings. And from those 5,000 people, only 500 people would learn from his knowledge, and the remainder would learn from his manners and his etiquettes. And as one of the students of Al-Imam Ahmad mentioned, he said, for 12 years I attended the gatherings of Al-Imam Ahmad, and he was teaching his musnad to his students. He said, in those 12 years, I did not write from him a single hadith. I would only look at his manners and look at his silence. So the gatherings of knowledge are not merely gatherings in which you memorize and learn, but also in which you learn from the etiquettes and manners. No. Any other etiquette? Taking notes, whether it's on the book or at the back of the book or separate notepad, that a person should take notes and write down and memorize this knowledge which he is receiving.
Use separate index, like key points for each chapter.
That's a type of taking notes. And anyway, apart from this, we mentioned some of the other etiquettes, most of that which you have mentioned. In this lesson, we come to a very important lesson. And this lesson is important because it is something which affects every single person, and especially the students of knowledge. It affects every single person, every single Muslim, and more so the students of knowledge. And it is regarding al-hasad. And the meaning of al-hasad, or the translation of al-hasad, is jealousy. And by the permission of Allah, in this lesson we are going to talk about what is jealousy, The types of jealousy, you're late. Where's your brother today? The types of jealousy, the indicators of jealousy, and how a person can remove jealousy from his heart. All of that, bi-idhnillah wa bi-tawfiqihi, will be studied in this lesson. So first of all, what is jealousy? And what is the meaning of jealousy? If somebody said to you jealousy, in your mind, what do you think jealousy is? What do you understand to be jealousy? Come on.
Anger.
Sorry?
Is it anger?
Uncle says jealousy is a type of anger. Anything else?
Something you want to see in here.
Come around, sorry. Tafadhal.
Wanting something that the other person has that you haven't.
So jealousy, to summarize, is desiring something which somebody else has. This is the base meaning of jealousy. And therefore, is jealousy always bad? If we say that jealousy is wanting something that somebody else has, does this mean that jealousy is always bad and always evil? No. The answer is no. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he classified jealousy into three types. He mentioned in his book Al-Fawaid that jealousy, it is three types. The first jealousy is a jealousy which is in a person's heart, but he hides and he controls this jealousy. So he doesn't act upon it. He doesn't say something due to this jealousy, due to this hasad. Neither does he allow this feeling to carry on in his heart. So this jealousy, it doesn't cause him to have bad thoughts of that person or have malice or spite towards that person. And the second type of jealousy is a jealousy in which you want what that person has, and at the same time you want that blessing to be removed from that person. And this is the jealousy which is evil. So not only do you want and desire what that person has, but at the same time you want the blessing to be removed from that person. So if you see a person whom Allah has blessed with wealth, then inside your heart you desire that wealth for yourself. At the same time, you want that person to lose his wealth and remain poor. If you see somebody who has acquired knowledge, then you desire to have that knowledge. At the same time, you want that person to remain ignorant. And like this. And then the third type of jealousy is what they call al-ghibta. And the meaning of al-ghibta is that you want and you desire in your heart what that person has, but at the same time you also want that person to have it. So you don't have an evil intention regarding that person. You merely desire what that person has, but you don't intend evil upon that person. And this type of jealousy, this is the jealousy which has been forbidden, and it is evil. I.e. the jealousy in which you want the blessing and at the same time you want the blessing to be removed from that person. And as for students of knowledge who find jealousy in their heart, and it's important to mention that al-hasad, jealousy, is something which affects every single person. Every single person, as a human being, you have jealousy in your heart. And this is tabi'atul bashar. This is the nature which Allah created the people upon. If we see somebody have some goodness, then naturally we desire that goodness for ourselves, for our children. So jealousy is something which is natural to every single person. But when this jealousy comes to the students of knowledge, and we mean the evil jealousy in which you want the blessing to be removed from that person, then this destroys the blessing in the knowledge of the person. And more than this, it can corrupt your akhirah. And it corrupts your path in seeking knowledge. And many ayat in the Quran and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in which jealousy were mentioned. Like the ayah which all of you know, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. O Allah, we seek refuge in you from the evil of the one who has jealousy when he has jealousy. So this shows us that hasad or jealousy, it contains within it evil. And Allah said in the Quran, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And do they have jealousy over those people whom Allah has given due to His kindness and virtue? فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. We gave the family of Ibrahim, the offspring of Ibrahim, we gave them the book, and we gave them wisdom, and we gave them great authority and possessions. The point is that Allah mentions in this ayah, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسِ, that do they have jealousy over the people, over that which we have given them? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَلَا تُحَاسَدُوا. Do not hate each other and do not have jealousy over each other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا حَسَدَ إِلَّا عَلَى اثنين, that there should be no jealousy except towards two people. First people, رَجُلٌ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا, a man, a person to whom Allah gave some wealth. فَتَصَدَّقَ بِهِ, so he gave this wealth in charity. So you say to yourself, O Allah, if only I had the wealth that that person has, so I could spend in charity like that person spends in charity. And the second person, رَجُلٌ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا, is a man to whom Allah has given knowledge. فَعَلَّمَهُ, so he teaches this knowledge to the people. So you say to yourself in your heart, O Allah, if only I had the knowledge which this person had, so I could also teach the people. And as I mentioned, hasad is something which is natural to every single person. But people differ in how they interact with this jealousy, and how much they control this jealousy, and how much the jealousy controls them. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said, مَا خَلَى جَسَدٌ مِّنْ حَسَدٍ, that there is no body which is free from jealousy. وَلَكِنَّ الْكَرِيمُ يُخْفِيهِ, however the noble person, he hides and conceals and controls the jealousy. وَاللَّئِيمُ يُبْدِيهِ, and the wretched one, he allows his jealousy to come out. And in reality, the person who is jealous, the person who has jealousy over others, in reality, he is complaining against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if people had strength in their iman in Allah, and if they had strength in their iman in the decree of Allah, they would find that this jealousy, they would have control over this jealousy. So when we allow this jealousy to control us and to harbor thoughts against others, then in reality it is a weakness in Tawheed, and it is a weakness in iman in the decree of Allah. Because who is it who decreed for that person to be given that which you were not given? It was the decree of Allah. Who decreed that this one is given wealth and this one is not given wealth? It is the decree of Allah. So when you start to have this jealousy and malice and spite and hatred against this person, then in essence it is a weakness in Tawheed, and it is a weakness in iman, and especially iman bil qadr. Like the poet said, أَلَا قُلْ لِمَنْ كَانَ لِي حَاسِدًا, say to the person who is jealous over me, أَتَدْرِي عَلَى مَنْ أَسَأْتَ الْأَدَبِ, do you know the one to whom you have just showed bad manners?
أَسَأْتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي فِعْلِهِ. You have showed bad manners to Allah in His actions. لِأَنَّكَ لَمْ تَرْضَ لِي مَا وَهَبْ. Because you are not pleased with Allah in that which He has given me. He said, أَلَا قُلْ لِمَنْ كَانَ لِي حَاسِدًا. Say to the one who is jealous over me. أَتَدْرِي عَلَى مَنْ أَسَأْتَ الْأَدَبْ. Do you know who is the one who you are really bad against? أَسَأْتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي فِعْلِهِ. It is Allah who you have shown bad manners against in this jealousy. Why? لِأَنَّكَ لَمْ تَرْضَ لِي مَا وَهَبْ. Because you are not happy in that which Allah has given me. And therefore, jealousy, it causes hardness in a person's heart. And jealousy, it causes for a person to become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to students of knowledge, then there are certain indicators which show that one is jealous over another. And the first of these indicators is that whenever his colleague, whenever his fellow student makes a mistake, then he becomes happy at the mistake which his fellow student made. And the second indicator is that a person becomes happy when his fellow student is absent. So if you find in your heart that, for example, in the gathering of knowledge you came, and then in your heart you find some happiness that your friend or your colleague did not come, then this indicates a jealousy which is in your heart. Why? Because you wanted goodness for yourself and you didn't want goodness for the person who came. And this is all this also the same, for example, when you are teaching or answering questions. That if you have two students of knowledge and they are in the same masjid or they are in the same house, then now there may be some level of competition when it comes to answering questions or teaching. So when one of them becomes happy that the other one has not come today, it's because he wants for himself all of the attention of the people. He wants for himself all of the attention of the people. And this indicates a level of jealousy. And this person, he thinks that because his friend or his colleague didn't come today, then this shows that now he has a higher authority and his status will be higher in the eyes of the people. And this one, he doesn't know that it is Allah who raises and it is Allah who lowers. It is Allah who honors and it is Allah who humiliates. Like Allah said in the Quran, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say, O Allah, the owner and the possessor of all of this kingdom. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You are the one who gives authority to whoever you want. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And you are the one who takes away authority from whoever you will. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And you are the one who honors whoever you will, and you are the one who humiliates and debases whoever you want. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. In your hand is all goodness. And for this reason we say that when we allow our jealousy to affect us in this way, that we're happy if our friend doesn't come, we're happy if our colleague doesn't answer the questions, then in reality this is a weakness in Iman in Allah. Because had you had Iman in Allah, you would know it is Allah who gives and takes. Allah raises, Allah lowers. It doesn't matter if a person attends or a person doesn't attend, and you should have goodness and want goodness for every other person. The third indicator of jealousy is that when your friend or when your colleague or when your fellow student of knowledge, when somebody backbites him, somebody mocks him, speaks about him, then you become happy at this. Inside you, you find inside you a pleasure that this fellow student of knowledge, he's being mocked or somebody is backbiting him. And if backbiting is not allowed for the common Muslims, then this is more of a case when it comes to students of knowledge and scholars. And as they say, luhumul ulama masmuma, that the flesh of the scholars and the people of knowledge, it is poisoned. So it is more severe of a haram for a student of knowledge to, for somebody to backbite a student of knowledge in your presence, than for any other person to backbite from the common Muslims. Also, from the indicators of hasad in a person's heart towards his fellow student of knowledge is that if you are asked about this friend of yours, then you use this as an opportunity to attack him. So you say, for example, somebody comes to you and says to you, you know, what do you think about this student of knowledge? And so you say, for example, yes, he's good in fiqh, but he's very weak in hadith. He's good in Quran, but he's not really good in the Arabic language. This is also an indicator of jealousy in your heart. Otherwise, the obligation which is upon us is to mention goodness about a person and remain silent over his defects. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever has iman in Allah and his messenger, then let him speak with goodness or remain silent. The ulama, they mention that this hadith, it is nisful ilm. This hadith, it is a half of all knowledge. And some of them said, this hadith, it is thuluthuddin. This hadith, it is a third of the religion. The fifth indicator, which indicates jealousy in the heart of a person, is that if you are sitting together and a questioner comes and the question is given to the student of knowledge instead of you, then you find in yourself a bad feeling that why is it he is being asked the question and why is it that the people do not and come ask questions to me. And a person should remember that again, it is the fadl of Allah. This is the decree of Allah. This is the virtue of Allah. That sometimes a question is put to this one and sometimes a question is put to the other one. From the indicators of jealousy is that if you benefit something from your colleague, then you don't appreciate this benefit. Or maybe you will mention this benefit to the other people, pretending it's something that you researched, and not take it back to your colleague or your friend who gave you this benefit. Perhaps if, for example, you were searching for an issue and you read so many books and spent so many hours researching on this issue, and then your friend or your colleague, this fellow student of knowledge, he gave you the answer. Instead of showing him appreciation and showing him gratitude, you belittle this from him. And had it been somebody else who had shown you and given you the answer, you would praise that person and praise that person. The reason why you did not show gratitude to him is because of some jealousy which is in the heart. From the indicators of a person's jealousy is that when he speaks, when he mentions something, then you try to always either belittle what he says or put down that which he has said or try to bring out an error in that which he mentioned. Otherwise, that which is correct is to advise the person. And if there is some error or defect, then you mention it generally without belittling this fellow student of knowledge. And then the final indicator of jealousy is that you do not ascribe the virtue to that person when he has some virtue. As I mentioned previously, he brings a benefit to you. When you mention the benefit to the people, instead of saying, my friend or my fellow student of knowledge, he gave me this benefit, you pretend that it is your benefit. And always, that which we should be upon is anybody who shows goodness to us, we show goodness to them. Anybody who benefits us with some knowledge, then we appreciate this virtue and we appreciate this fadl. And that a person makes dua for the one who has benefited him with knowledge and appreciates this act of guidance from him. And then there are certain matters by which a person can cure jealousy which he finds in his heart. And as I mentioned, if a person doesn't act quickly to cure this jealousy, it can destroy his akhirah, it can overtake his life, it can cause him sadness and affect him in many other ways. It's like a plant or a weed that every time it gets water, it grows and grows and grows. So a person shouldn't be negligent regarding any jealousy which he finds in his heart. Straight away, he should try to cure and solve this jealousy. And there are a number of ways which help a person to cure this jealousy. And the first way, and the greatest cure without any doubt, is to make dua for that person bi dhahr al ghayb. And he doesn't know you've made dua for him or her. This is the greatest way, the greatest cure for jealousy is for you to make dua for that person bi dhahr al ghayb, and that person doesn't know that you made dua for him and her. And this is something, my brothers, which is, as they say, tried and tested. That if you find jealousy in your heart towards another person, make dua for that person. O Allah, increase him out of your virtue. O Allah, forgive his sins. And you will see that this jealousy which is in your heart, bi-idhnillah, it will be removed immediately. As long as you make dua without the person knowing that you have made dua for them. The second avenue is that bring some affection and some care and consideration between each other. So when you see him, for example, you ask about him, ask about his children, ask about his job, show him some affection and concern for his situation, and this bi-idhnillah, it will remove jealousy from your heart and also any jealousy from his heart. In fact, more than this, if there is a person who is an enemy to you, he's an enemy, a sworn enemy to you, and you show him some sincere affection and concern, then bi-idhnillah, that enemy will become your friend. Who told us this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. He said in the Quran, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Reply to the person in a way which is better. Why? If you do this, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً. If you do this, then the one between you and him, there's adawa, there's hatred and animosity, he will become like كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become like your best, closest supporter and friend. And this is in Surah Fussilat, ayah number 34. The third way for a person to cure jealousy from his heart is to visit that person, to physically visit and sit and socialize with that person. So even if you have jealousy in your heart, then you make mujahada, you strive against yourself to go physically sit and visit and socialize with that person. And this, my brothers, this was the practice and is the practice of the ulama and the tulab al-ilm. Up until today, the tulab al-ilm, they take it upon themselves to go visit the ulama. And the ulama, they visit the tulab al-ilm in their houses. And the tulab al-ilm between themselves, they visit each other. And the students towards their shaykh, they would take their time out in order to go visit them in their houses or their towns. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about the virtue of visiting an ill person. All of you know that from the rights of a Muslim upon another Muslim is that when he becomes ill, you go visit him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man aada maridan," whoever visits an ill person, "aw zara akhan lahu fillah," or who visits a brother or sister for the sake of Allah, "nadahu manadin," then a caller calls out to him and he says to him, "tibta wa taba mamshaka," that you have become good, have the glad tidings, and also the one that you walked with or you visited have the glad tidings. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا, and you have already prepared your place in Jannah. This is the great virtue of visiting an ill person or visiting a Muslim for the sake of Allah. So if this is the case in visiting an ill person who has a physical illness, then how about visiting somebody and in your heart there is the illness of hatred and jealousy? So you visit him or you visit her in order to remove this disease and illness which is in your heart or their heart of jealousy and hatred. Also, from the cures of jealousy is that you do not allow for any backbiting or for anybody to speak ill against that person in your presence. And if you do this, and if you become happy with it, then this is how shaitan enters into the heart of a person. From the cures of jealousy, especially between the ulama and the tulab al-ilm, is that when a question comes to you, you point it towards him. And you always give precedence to him. And this was the way of the sahaba, that when a question would come to them, they would say, "Sal ghayri," ask somebody else besides me. Meaning, go ask my fellow companion. And this was the way of the ulama and the tabi'een. And up until today, you see that when our ulama, they are sitting together and a question comes to them, "Tafaddal ya Sheikh, go ahead, you answer this question." And the other one will say that you are more worthy of answering this question. And this removes jealousy and hatred from a person's heart. From the things which cure a person's jealousy is that the one from whom you find jealousy in your heart, seek help from that person or ask guidance from that person. Meaning, you have jealousy in your heart that somebody has been given knowledge and memorized, for example, more hadith than you. Go to that person and sit with him and say to him, "Can you help me in memorizing the hadith? Can we sit together and revise this knowledge?" Or if you didn't understand an issue and you're jealous that he has knowledge, go to that person and ask him about this issue and maybe he will give you some guidance regarding this issue of knowledge. And this also, it removes the jealousy from a person's heart. And it is mentioned regarding Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he said, "ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُجْزِيهِمْ إِلَّا الدُّعَى," that three people, the only reward for these three people is that you make dua for them. There are three people and they are deserving of your dua. First of them, he said, "رَجُلٌ دَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ فِي مَجْلِسْ فَقَامَ إِلَيَّ بَاشًا مُسْتَبْشِرًا." A man, when I entered into his gathering, he came towards me and he smiled and he showed me happiness and he gave me good news and glad tidings. He said, this type of person, he is only deserving of my dua. The second person, وَرَجُلٌ أَفْسَحَ لِي فِي مَجْلِسْ, is a person, when I entered into the gathering, he made some space for me so I could sit next to him. This person, Ibn Abbas said, he's deserving of my dua. And the third person, وَرَجُلٌ نَزَلَتْ بِهِ نَازِلَةٌ فَاسْتَشَارَنِي, The third person is a person who was in a particular situation, and so he came to me and he sought my advice. He said, فَأُولَٰئِكَ, so all of them, لَا أَجْزِيهِمْ إِلَّا الدُّعَى. These three types of people, the only reward I can give them is to make dua for them. So all these are matters in which, or avenues in which we can cure jealousy in our heart. And from the greatest cure of jealousy is for a person to strengthen his iman in Allah and strengthen his iman in the decree of Allah. Because we said that jealousy, it only overcomes a person because of a weakness in Tawheed and a weakness in Al-Iman. And this teaches us, my brothers and sisters, that the study of Tawheed and the study of Iman, it isn't merely memorizing that this is the definition of Tawheed and these are the three types of Tawheed and these are the six pillars of Iman. This is not Iman and Tawheed. Rather, as well as all of this, Iman and Tawheed, it should have an effect in our outlook and how we interact with people and the manners which we have. And for this reason you find, for example, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, in his Risala Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, Al-Aqidah, he's teaching Al-Aqidah and he's writing about Al-Aqidah. The last third of this Risala, it is all about good manners. In Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, he begins by mentioning ayat regarding the attributes of Allah. Then he mentions a hadith regarding the attributes of Allah. And then at the end he mentions good manners and noble morals and etiquettes that every single person should have. To teach us that this iman in Allah and this tawheed al-asma wa sifat and this tawheed al-uluhiyya, it should have an impact in our or upon our manners. And for this reason, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Amin al-Shanqiti rahimullah, he said, "Inna a'zam al-wa'idh wa akbar al-zajir 'ilmuka bi anna Allah 'alim." He said that the greatest thing which encourages you and admonishes you to do more good deeds, and the greatest thing which prevents you from doing evil is what? عِلْمُكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ, is your knowledge and you knowing and you studying that Allah is the most knowledgeable. So when you study the names of Allah and you study the attributes of Allah and you study الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, this has an effect in our deeds, good deeds, bad deeds, how we interact with the people, the state of our heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى, that there is a limb or there is an organ in the body. If it becomes rectified, your whole body will be rectified. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, and if this becomes corrupt and ill and diseased, then all of your body will become corrupt and ill and diseased. He said, أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ, it is the heart. And there is nothing which rectifies and cures the heart like the knowledge of Tawheed and like having iman in Allah and the final day and having iman in the decree of Allah. And after this, my brothers and sisters, we'll finish by mentioning a few examples of how the ulama from the Salaf, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een to the ulama today, examples of how they used to respect each other and venerate each other, honor each other and exalt each other, to teach us and the students of knowledge that us between each other, your colleagues and you are fellow students of knowledge, you should also have this veneration and this respect and honor between each other. And the first example is the example of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. It is mentioned, Al-Imam Malik, he mentions regarding him of a story that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away, in the khilaf of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one day Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they were sitting together. And another man, the night before, he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw أَنَّ الْقِيَامَةَ قَدْ قَامَتْ, that يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ it had been established, the hour had come. وَأَنَّ النَّاسَ حُشِرُوا, and all of mankind, they had been gathered together. And then he said, فَكَأَنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ عُمَرِ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ قَدْ فَرِعَ النَّاسِ بَسْطَةِ, and it's as if he saw Umar ibn al-Khattab amongst all of mankind, and he was greater in a greater position than the rest of mankind. As if there was a special virtue to Umar which made him stand out amongst all of mankind. So this man, he said that in my dream I asked, in his dream. He said in his dream, بِمَا فُضِّلَ عُمَرِ ibn al-Khattab عَلَى النَّاسِ, that what is it that has caused Umar ibn al-Khattab to be made more virtuous than the other people? And in his dream it was said to him, bil khilafa wa shahada wa annahu la yakhafu fillahi lawmata la'im, that he has been made more virtuous over the rest of mankind because of his khilafa, and the fact he will die as a martyr, and that he did not used to fear the blame of anybody besides Allah. So the next morning, this man, he came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar was sitting with Abu Bakr. And he mentioned to Umar that, look, I had this dream and I saw that all of mankind were gathered and you had a special place, and so on and so forth. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he rebuked him and he told him off. And he said to him, Qum, stand up and go away. Ahlamu na'im, these are mere dreams of a sleeping person. So anyway, this man, he got up and he left, and Umar had rebuked him. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died and passed away, then Umar, he called that man again. And he said to him, أَعِدْ عَلَيَّ رُؤْيَا الَّتِي رَأَيْتَهَا, he said, now repeat to me the dream which you saw and you tried to mention at that time. And the man said to him, أَوَمَا كُنْتَ رَدَدْتَهَا عَلَيَّ, are you not the same one who, when I initially tried to tell this dream, you the one who rebuked me, and you're the one who sent me away? And Umar radiallahu anhu replied to him, and this is the point, he said, أَوَمَا كُنْتَ تَسْتَحْيِ أَن تَذْكُرْ فَضِيلَتِي فِي مَجْلِسِ أَبِي بَكْر وَهُوَ قَاعِد, he said, and did you not feel embarrassed and shy to mention my virtues in a sitting in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is sitting there? So the point is that at that time, the only reason why he rebuked this man, told him to go away, is because of veneration to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The how can my virtues be mentioned and a Siddiq is sitting next to me, even though there is no sin upon this man? There's nothing wrong with this man and mentioning this dream to him. There's nothing wrong with this. But out of respect and veneration of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he did not allow him to do so. Also from the examples of Umar radiallahu anhu is how he would ask other companions knowledge and seek their advice, even if they were less virtuous than him and they had less knowledge than him, and even if they were much younger than him, like he would do with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. That if there was a gathering, he would bring Ibn Abbas and always ask him for his opinion, even though Ibn Abbas was much younger and he was not like Umar radiallahu anhu in virtue. And for this reason, Al-Abbas, the father of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said to him, Ya Bunayya, O my son, رَأَيْتُ عُمَرَ يُقَرِّبُكَ وَيُدِينُكَ وَيَدِينُكَ, he said, I've noticed Umar, he always brings you close to him, he always keeps you at his side. فَحْفَظْ عَنِّي ثَلَاثًا, O my son, memorize from me three matters. Firstly, لَا تَفْشِلَهُ سِرًّا, that in front of him, do not ever mention a secret. If somebody has trusted you with a secret, don't mention to him. And if Umar mentions to you something which is private, then do not spread it. Number two, وَلَا تُكْثِرَ ضَحَكْ, that in front of Umar, do not laugh a lot. And number three, وَلَا تَغْتَابَنَّ عِنْدَهُ أَحَدٍ. And do not, number three, do not backbite anybody whilst you are in the presence of Umar radiallahu anhu. The point is that consider the example of these two men. You have Umar radiallahu anhu, and he is Amirul Mu'mineen in his time. He is the Khalif of all of the Muslim world. At that time, there was nobody else who was better in mankind than Umar radiallahu anhu. And yet, in order to respect and venerate Ibn Abbas, he would ask him and consult him and bring him close. And you know that Ibn Abbas, perhaps he was the age of one of the children of Umar, or maybe even the grandchild of Umar. And yet despite this difference in age, it did not prevent Umar from bringing him close and showing him respect. Another example is how they occurred between Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhuma, some differences between both of them. And this is mentioned by Ibn Abi Dunya in his book As-Sumt. And then a man came to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, trying to belittle Khalid or mentioning something about Khalid ibn Walid. And straight away Sa'd said to him, إِنَّمَا بَيْنَنَا لَمْ يَبْلُغْ دِينَنَا, that difference which has occurred between me and Khalid radiallahu anhu, our religion, it does not allow us to make it an issue. Meaning he prevented from this person from speaking bad about Khalid, even though there was something which existed between them. Another example is that which is mentioned regarding Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah, that one of the ulama of Egypt, and his name is Yunus al-Sadafi, and this is mentioned by al-Dhahabi in his book As-Sir. He says, this alim, and he was a colleague of al-Shafi'i, he said, اختلفتُ أنا والشافعي في مسألة, that me and al-Shafi'i, we differed with each other upon a particular issue. فافترقنا ثم تلاقينا بعد ذلك. They said, so we left each other. Because of this issue, we differed and we left each other. Then after a while, we met each other again. فأخذ الشافعي بيدي. And then Shafi'i came to me and he took me by my hand. And he said, يا فلان. He said, oh so and so. أيمنعنا إن اختلفنا في مسألة أن نكون إخوانا. That just because we have differed in an issue, does this now prevent us from being brothers for the sake of Allah? And then Yunus rahimullah, he said, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَعْقَلَ مِنْهُ. So I never saw somebody as intelligent as a Shafi'i. Just because you differ in an issue between each other, does this mean now you cannot be Muslims anymore? And of course, we are not talking here about differing over Tawheed and Shirk. This is a separate thing. Or differing over Sunnah and Bid'ah. But we are talking about Ahlul Sunnah, who are upon the same Aqidah, same Usul, with the same Ulama, and they differ in an issue of Ijtihad, they differ over a person, they differ over a Masjid, they differ in an issue of Ijtihad, and then they allow this to cause hatred and animosity and boycotting between each other, and this is what we see today. From the examples of veneration and respect which occurred between scholars at the same time is that which occurred between Al-Imam Ahmad and Al-Shafi'i rahimullah. And as you know, they are considered to be either colleagues, or you could say that Shafi'i was almost like a teacher to Ahmad because he came before him and they met in Baghdad. And one day it is narrated that one of the imams of that time, he came and he visited Al-Imam Ahmad. And they were sitting together and they were talking to each other and revising knowledge. إِذْ مَرَّ الْإِمَامُ الشَّافِعِي عَلَى بَغْلَةٍ. When Al-Imam Shafi'i passed by them and he was riding on a donkey. Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimullah, he rode on a donkey and he passed by Al-Imam Ahmad and another imam from the imams of that era. And as soon as Al-Imam Ahmad saw him, qam, he stood up. He stood up out of respect for a Shafi'i who was riding upon this donkey. And then he went chasing after him. فَلَمَّا أَدْرَكَهُ سَأَلَهُ عَنْ بَعْضِ الْمَسَائِلِ. And then when he caught up to a Shafi'i, imagine a Shafi'i is riding on a donkey, and Imam Ahmad and his Imam Sunnah in his time, he's chasing after this donkey to ask certain questions. And then he asked him these questions, and then he came back and he sat with this Imam in his time. And this Imam, he said, Ya Abu Abdullah, O Abu Abdullah, O Imam Ahmad, O Imam Sunnah. He said, Ila mata, until when? Until when are you going to keep chasing after him and keep venerating him? Leave him now. You've respected him enough. You are now the Imam of Ahl Sunnah. And Al-Imam Ahmad rahimullah, he said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْفِقْهِ فَلْزَمْ ذَنَبَ الْبَغْلَى. That if you want fiqh, meaning if you want knowledge, then go chase the tail of that donkey. Meaning if you want knowledge, go chase a Shafi'i rahimullah. So this is how, again, we see respect and veneration between two scholars and two students of knowledge. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and bi-idhnillah, we finish with this example and the example after it. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, this is famous what is mentioned regarding him, that as you know, in the time in which Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was living, many of the scholars, they spoke against him and they showed animosity and hatred towards him. And many of them, they were the reason for which he was locked up and jailed away, and then later on he died in jail. Al-Muhim, when one day he was freed from jail, a person came to him and he gave him the glad tiding that his enemy had died. Somebody said to him that, I've got good news for you, that this one who used to speak against you and write against you and criticize you and complain to the rulers against you, he has now died, and this is a good news. And any other person would be happy regarding this, that my enemy has now left. However, Ibn Taymiyyah, he looked at this situation with knowledge, he looked at this situation with taqwa, he looked at this situation with righteousness and piety. And he said to him, أَتُبَشِّرُنِي بِمَوْتِ مُسْلِمٍ. Are you giving me the glad tidings with the death of a Muslim? You're telling me this is good news that a Muslim has died? ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَى بَيْتِ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلِ. And then Shaykhul Islam, he went to the house of that man. وَسَلَّمَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَأَوْلَادِهِ. And then he gave salam to his children and his family. And then he said to them, إِنَّمَا أَنَا لَكُمْ وَالِدٍ. That I am now like your father. Meaning whatever your father used to do and how he used to spend upon you and look after you, then consider as if I am your father. The needs which you have come to me. So subhanAllah, where are we nowadays? And where are the tulab al-ilm nowadays from these types of manners and these types of etiquettes? We are boycotting our brothers from Ahlul Sunnah and hating our own brothers. And not do we only hate them, we hate their fathers and their families and their wives, and there's no honor and respect left anymore. But Shaykhul Islam, when these things would occur, he would go to the family and offer his services to the family. And for this reason, Allah placed the acceptance of Ibn Taymiyyah in the hearts of the people. Because this is al-ikhlas. And this is at-taqwa. And then after this, brothers, there are many, many other examples. And whoever can, refer back to the book Ma'alim fi Tariq al-Talab al-Ilm, because As-Sadhan, Hafizullah, he mentions them. And he also mentions finally a current contemporary example of that which occurred between two famous scholars of the same era. And these two scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, they wrote books and articles in refutation of each other. And they are none other than Shaykh Muhammad ibn Nasir al-Din al-Albani rahimullah, and also a Shaykh Humud al-Tawajri rahimullah from the ulama of An-Najd. And between them, they differed on many issues and they wrote refutations against each other. However, one day, Al-Albani rahimullah, he visited Riyadh, where a Shaykh Humud al-Tawajri was living. And at that time, and this is in the year 1410, meaning 28 years before now. And Sheikh Hamoud al-Tuwaijdi on that day, he had a walima for marriage or a dinner. When he heard that Al-Albani was in Riyadh, he sent his son to him to call him as a special guest to this dinner. And the ulama mentioned the respect and the veneration that occurred in that sitting. That when it was the time for the prayer, each one would say to the other, Tafadhal, you go ahead, you lead the prayer. If a question came, then each one of them would send the question to the other person. And a Shaykh Sada'an, Hafidhullah, he mentions, he said, وَأَخْبَرَنِي مَنْ حَضَرْ, that from those who attended that day, somebody told me, he said, وَهُوَ أَحَدُ أَوْلَادِ شَيْخ حَمُودِ, I, one of the children, the sons of Sheikh Hamoud al-Tuwaijdi, he told me that from the matters which astonished the people on that day, because remember, everybody else, they knew of the problems which were occurring between them and the refutations which had occurred. But all of them, they were astonished how Sheikh Hamoud, he would give a taqdeer to Albani. He would give him a position and a place and a status to Albani. And how when food came to him, the first person he would serve is Albani. And when questions came to him, the first person that the question was directed to was Albani. To the extent that when Sheikh Albani was leaving, he accompanied him right to the furthest he could go, right to the car. He took him by his hand to the car. And this is despite the differences and that which was written between them. So the point is that this is how Ahlus Sunnah should behave towards each other. And this is how the scholars and the Salaf and the Sahaba should behave towards each other. And as I mentioned previously, the Salafi manhaj, it isn't merely knowing about this one is an innovator and that one is a Hizbi and what this Sheikh has said about that Sheikh and so on and so forth. Rather, the Salafi manhaj is all of this which we have mentioned. Look at how the Salaf used to respect each other and treat each other. And I am talking about brothers and tulab al-ilm and ulama from Ahlus Sunnah. I'm not talking about the people of shirk and the people of fitna. Us, but in Ahlus Sunnah, those who follow the way of the Salaf, who agree upon our usul, this is how we should be with each other, even if there is difference between us. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions from anybody, you're welcome to ask questions from the brothers or the sisters.